What's up, folks? Big Z here, coming at you again this week for the last week of American Pharmacist Month. And yes, October is American Pharmacist Month. This will be the last show I have for you on pharmacy. Yeah, I'm not going to leave you just yet. Just going to leave you just concerning American Pharmacist Month. So if you don't know, you're listening to my old show with a new name, Big Z's Friday Mornings, formerly known as Big Z's Top Links, and also known as BZFM. Same show as always, just a new name. This week's format will be the same as the last 3 weeks, since I'm still promoting American Pharmacist Month, because I, as you should know by now, am a student pharmacist. And I want to do one last pharmacy show. I've given you plenty of links before on politics, technology, SIUE, and healthcare. And now I want to do a show that's basically what you've been hearing for the last 4 weeks about what it means to be a pharmacist. Not just a pill pusher who always wears a white coat. They are much more than that, and I wish to show you that on my show. I have for you this week interviews from pharmacists in your local hospitals and clinics. Pharmacists do more than learn, teach, and work at Walgreens. Pharmacists also work in hospitals to ensure everyone is getting the right medication at a safe dose. In fact, pharmacists in these areas are breaking the barriers of what it means to be a pharmacist, and possibly having a more direct impact on what medications patients received. As always, the show is about interactions. It's always about you. You can get me over Facebook, Twitter, Google+, or Tumblr, and more. But this show will be the last show that I'm going to disable the studio phone for, because I want to allow the interviews to not be interrupted. But instead, you can email me at bigzlinks@gmail.com. Just email me, and then I'll put whatever you say on the air. So, also, if you have any questions about our interviews, too. So, our first interview will be with Dr. Lisa Lupps, an amazing faculty member at the SIUE School of Pharmacy, as well as a passionate practicing pharmacist. She currently works with many kids over at Cardinal Glennon over in St. Louis, and gives us the school many stories about her experiences working with kids. She is, to me, an expert in pediatric care and an inspiration for those pharmacists working with kids. I'm sure you were even born over at Cardinal Glennon, too, so you may have seen her as well. She is a great resource for what it means to practice in a hospital setting, and I'm glad I got to interview her. Please enjoy our interview with Dr. Lisa Lupps. Right now, we have Dr. Lisa Lupps calling into the studio. She is an associate professor for pediatrics and pulmonary topics for the SIUE School of Pharmacy for over 5 years, and is also a clinical pharmacy specialist at the Cardinal Glennon Children's Medical Center over in St. Louis. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Harry.
Why don't we go ahead and start with, what do you feel in one sentence or more the word pharmacy means to you?
It's a great question. I feel that pharmacy means that we provide safe and effective medication to people, but for me, really children.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can you say what's a typical day like in your practice or for the School of Pharmacy or...
Well, first I'll just tell you about Cardinal Glennon and what I do over here.
Sure.
Because when I come over to SIUE and campus, it's much different when my day's over there. But most days here over at Cardinal Glennon, I start off pretty early, where I and the pharmacy students will round with different doctors, medical residents, medical students, and nurse practitioners. We start at about 7:30 in the morning, where we meet with the resident who'd stayed overnight and get a sign out from the patients that came into the ER that got admitted to our service.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we start to really round on the rest of the patients who came in, you know, earlier than the night before. And so I specifically round with three teams throughout mm-hmm. the morning. I round with a general medicine team, where people that have general medical problems, children specifically, come to that service. I also round with the pulmonary lung doctors, and I round with the cardiology or heart doctors every morning, and so does the pharmacy students. And then the afternoon is really open to educating patients, having discussion with our students and pharmacists downstairs that are down entering and verifying all the orders that get written. So I really have no distributive responsibility for medication over here.
Okay. And what got you personally interested in pediatrics?
Pediatrics specifically? Oh, well, I always wanted to teach, so that's where the teaching component comes in. But I also always wanted to teach high school, and so I really do love interacting with kids and interacting with teenagers specifically.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my favorite population to take care of. So it was a natural progression through pharmacy to really focus in pediatrics for me.
Mm-hmm. And kind of going along those lines, what got you personally into pharmacy?
Well, I have a personal reason to be in pharmacy. My father is also a pharmacist, and he actually also worked here at Cardinal Glennon and still does.
Ah.
So he's been here for over 20 years and will retire after one more shift. And he actually works at the Poison Control Center and takes phone calls for people who have acute ingestions of medications and other substances. And so I got to watch him interact actually as a pharmacist here at Cardinal Glennon, you know, not at the Poison Center, but as a pharmacist who dispensed medications here for over 20 years. And, mm-hmm. and so I had a great respect for him, and hence my path.
I bet that was a great experience.
Absolutely.
How do you feel about your connection with different healthcare professionals? You said you rounded with different medicine teams and...
Luckily, I have quite the role over here that's been established, especially with the pulmonary service. So the pulmonologist and I have a strong interaction where they really have allowed me to take over the medication management of their patients. And so I have a great connection with that group of physicians. I also work relatively close with respiratory therapy folks as well as nurses, and so we have good relationships and good interactions that provide great care for our kids here.
And do you feel that's similar with other health system practices?
I think it just depends on what the pharmacist's role is in the hospital. So since I am out on the floors and very visible, I carry a pager, so I'm able to be reached, versus those that work downstairs in really verifying orders that physicians put in or making products, especially intravenous products or IV preparations, may not have as well of a relationship as I do since I'm more visible.
Mm-hmm.
I think it depends on your role within the healthcare system, what your relationship or connection is going to be with those other disciplines.
Okay. And how does your practice personally differ from other practices like community pharmacy or clinic-based pharmacy?
Right. So on the hospital side, when someone comes to the hospital, they usually have an acute issue or a medical problem that they need help with right away. And so my focus is helping them get the direction that they need or the medicines that they need for that one or several issues that they're here for.
Mm-hmm.
Versus when you're at home, when a patient's at home or in the community or in the clinic, they're really focusing on everything else that might be bothering them, but it's not necessarily going to hurt them at that moment. So healthcare or health system pharmacy is really designed to keep people out of the hospital and take care of those problems that might really cause them to die acutely or cause them to have really a lot more trouble with the problems that they have at home.
Mm-hmm.
Versus on the outpatient side, or on the community side, you're really dealing with medicines or problems that are trying to keep them out of the hospital.
Yep. Right, right. Can you talk about the necessity of residencies in your practice?
Absolutely. This is... if you would have asked me this question 10 years ago, it would be very different from the answer I'll give you now. I really do believe that pharmacy residency is a specialized type, and that if you want to be a clinical pharmacist and provide that great level of care, interact as I do with a medical team,
mm-hmm.
that residencies are necessary at this point in pharmacy. Now, my answer would be different 10 years ago where, other areas you could have had that type of practice without a residency, but it is definitely required today.
And could you elaborate on what exactly a residency is for our listeners?
Sure. A residency is what we call postgraduate training, and so after your 6 years of school plus, you go on for another year or 2 years if you want to specialize, where it's almost like the last year of pharmacy school where you spend some time in multiple areas and mm-hmm. gain more experience taking care of patients and interacting with other medical professionals. And so really the first year is considered a general year where you get a broad range of experiences, and then you can consider a second year where you can specialize in something like pediatrics or infectious disease, mm-hmm. geriatrics, and really highlight those that area of clinical practice to get the job that you'd like in that area.
Okay. And speaking along those lines, I know residencies are tied to the American Society of Health System Pharmacists, or ASHP.
Right.
Could you explain how big of an impact ASHP has on your practice and residencies, and just kind of the general impact that organization has on health system pharmacy?
Well, ASHP is one of the biggest pharmacy organizations in the country, and they do, like you said, have a role in the residency experience because they are the accrediting body, basically saying that this institution can have a residency that is accredited by ASHP. Mm-hmm. The personal influence that ASHP has had on my practice or professional life is that's how I got my residency, was being a part of ASHP. It's also how I got my first job through that organization.
Really?
And that is huge in my direction in this profession. But it can be as simple as them providing me daily emails that I absolutely love from that organization, mm-hmm. describing what's happened in the last 24 hours in our profession. So it could be very small as an email, or it's very big as a job, and ASHP has been there the whole time.
Okay. Do you happen to have any treasured experiences that you've had working at Cardinal Glennon?
Say that again. Treasure?
Treasured experiences. Or
well, I have lots of treasured experiences throughout my pharmacy career, specifically since I've been here the last 5 years. You know, I've gotten to develop lots of relationships with my cystic fibrosis population mm-hmm. that I work with. And so there's several kids that, you know, I have had a lot of impact with or felt very connected to through our interactions with their medications. And watching them come in and out of the hospital is a very treasured experience. And unfortunately, you know, this past past year, I lost one of those patients to that horrible disease, and she was very influential in how I look at medication therapy, because I really tried hard to keep her here longer, mm-hmm. And without success, unfortunately. So even though it's a negative treasure, it is a treasure to have them in my life.
Yeah, to have that impact the way you practice now.
Absolutely.
And do you feel that pharmacy in general is an evolving career field?
Always. It's a very dynamic profession. I have to learn something new every day, mm-hmm. Whether it's a new drug or a new indication for an old drug or how to really give a drug a different way. So I think that we always have to be on our toes, and we're going to be lifelong learners. Also, I think that the role of the pharmacist is evolving, and so hopefully that the rest of the medical profession can see that we're trying to expand our role.
Mm-hmm. And speaking along other healthcare professionals, how do you feel that pharmacy is similar or different to those fields?
Well, obviously we're similar that we deal all in within the medical field. I mm-hmm. think that we all have a different piece of the medical puzzle, though, that definitely we deal with the drug piece versus, you know, nurses deal with the patient piece, and then physicians oversee both. So that's how we're similar. Again, I think that we're different in that we have different roles within that puzzle, mm-hmm. To where we are considered the drug experts and how to give drugs the most appropriately.
Right. And do you feel that do you feel the same sentiment that other interviewers had asked about the interprofessional team that we must be a part of?
You know, I think that it depends on who you ask what answer you'll get. And you know, luckily here at Cardinal Glennon, that I have not encountered anyone who hasn't vision or seen pharmacy as having an important role. But I do think overall in the community, we have a long way to do with changing the perception of what our role is in the community and our role is in the medical field. Mm-hmm. I think there are some disparities in how people see that we are just distributors of medication and not really someone who can provide education to the community or education within the medical team on the best drug and the best way to give that drug.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of leads into my next question of, do you feel there are any problems within pharmacy that could be addressed by either us or by the general population at large?
Yeah, there are two major problems that I encounter or wish were different is that perception. You know, luckily, my perception around me, I've built, but yet I feel like within the community, we do need to change the perception of pharmacy and coming to the table better as part of the medical team. And the other major problem that we struggle with within the profession, I think, is insurance or coverage for patients, and specifically state coverage. Definitely that system needs help.
And could you elaborate on that?
Well, I don't feel like it's universal, and I really would love to see more universal coverage or easier coverage for patients and families. It's a very difficult process when someone can't get the drug that they need, they can't afford the drug that they need, mm-hmm. they don't have the paperwork filled out for the drug that they need, but they need it now, and so the system fails, and we need to fix the system.
Okay. This is a question that I ask everyone. How do you feel about the proliferation of schools of pharmacy across the country?
That's a hard question to answer. I think that, you know, SIUE came at an area that it was needed when we started our school here. So I do feel that there's some areas around the country where new schools are necessary and definitely fill a gap. Mm-hmm. But I think there's also some schools that are getting started that aren't going to fill a gap and only harm that area. So I think that there needs to be a balance of where these new schools are being started.
Mm-hmm. And you had mentioned that your dad was an influential character in your life, or an influential pharmacist in your life. Do you happen to know of any other pharmacists that may have impacted your practice as well?
Oh, a personal mentor for me was when I was a resident. I had three wonderful preceptors that year, and luckily they were in all three areas of pediatrics. One was in the baby ICU, mm-hmm. or and one was in the children's ICU, and then the other was just a generalist who also worked in the community or ambulatory care clinics. And that particular one, Michelle Condren is her name, who worked in the ambulatory care clinics, is my friend today, but my mentor overall. And really, if you look at my job, it is very similar to what her job is. So I've basically learned my practice through watching and mentoring by her. And now she's moved on to more administrative roles within a school in Oklahoma. However, we still share this passion of pulmonary medicine and pediatric medicine, and I'm very indebted to her practice for my practice.
Mm-hmm. And just to kind of wrap up, do you happen to have one piece of advice that you would have wanted before going into health system pharmacy?
Well, for students, my biggest advice is that you get involved early, you get involved during school. I wish someone would have told me as a student that I needed to have that leadership experience sooner, because I waited too long to start to practice that type of experience within pharmacy. And so the earlier that a student can get involved, the more likely that their chances in pharmacy are going to open. So that's huge, especially in health systems. Right now in health systems, it's hard to find a job necessarily, because it is a highly sought after area of pharmacy. And so the more experience someone can have, the better chances they are to reach the health system area.
Mm-hmm. And is there one last kickoff message that you'd like for our listeners to know about Pharmacist Month or pharmacy in general, or...
Well, I think Pharmacy Month is great. We actually have Health Systems Pharmacy Week, which is next week, and I'm really excited to celebrate that here at Colonel Glennon, where we're going to increase our awareness, hopefully, with having an employee medication review day. Mm-hmm. So I would leave your listeners with, you know, if you're within the pharmacy profession, share your profession with the community. Mm-hmm. I think it's highly important that we increase our awareness around the profession.
Right. And that's actually appropriate, because that's when this interview will air.
Oh, great. So it's this week.
Yep. So thank you very much for coming on to the program. You are always a delight to have.
Great. Well, thanks for having me, Harry.
I hope to have you on later shows.
That would be great.
Have a great day.
You too.
And that was the interview with Dr. Lisa Lush. And like she said, this is American Health System Pharmacist Week, so that's also a plus for doing the show this week, too. Beyond that, let's go ahead and go to our first song break. This is Make It Up As You Go by Plain White Tees. I actually got to see them in concert last Saturday over in Lindenwood. That was an amazing concert. They had like four bands and all that. You don't want to hear about it. You just want to listen to the song. So here it is, Make It Up As You Go by the Plain White Tees.
I'm gonna go my own way, you go yours, and
And that was Get Higher by the Paper Tongues. And as the other song was, Make It Up As You Go by the Plain White Tees. Now we're going to go ahead and move on to Dr. Kelly Gable's interview, another professor from the SIUE School of Pharmacy who works with the underprivileged and psychiatric patients over in a St. Louis clinic. She is very knowledgeable and very influential to all of us at the school who are interested in practicing within psychiatric medicine. She is also on the forefront of expanding our definition of what it means to be a pharmacist through her direct interactions with her patients and in-depth collaboration with her colleagues in social work, medicine, and more. I also want to warn that the audio on this interview has some background music, just like our interview with Dr. McPherson earlier. So I just want you to be patient and please enjoy our interview. Right now we have Dr. Kelly Gable, assistant professor at the SIUE School of Pharmacy. She's been at her position for 4 years now, and she has been in pharmacy education for 6 years. It's a privilege to have you in the studio. Welcome, Dr. Kelly Gable.
Hi, Harry. Thanks for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
So let's go ahead and start off with, in one sentence, tell me what you believe the word pharmacy means to you.
Okay, if I think about pharmacy, I think about the education of a pharmacist, which is the medication expert. And the medication expert is responsible for basically the safe and effective use and delivery of medications.
Okay, so what got you into the pharmacy world?
It's an interesting story, actually. My father is an independent pharmacy owner, and he practices in Greenfield, Illinois. So growing up, I spent a fair amount of hours working in the independent pharmacy setting, and just grew to love that aspect of pharmacy and the relationships that you can build with your clients. And it just kind of grew from there, and that was all I knew about pharmacy at the time, was independent and community pharmacy, mm-hmm. and I enjoyed it, and so I went on to go to pharmacy school.
Okay. Well, why don't you explain what your typical day is at your practice?
Sure. I actually, as I progressed through pharmacy school, realized that pharmacy has so many other opportunities besides community pharmacy. Mm-hmm. So now I work actually in a community mental health center. And this is a nonprofit organization in St. Louis, Missouri. And so my particular role is a little bit different than your typical clinical pharmacist. I would call it more of an innovative practice in that my days are always different. I'm part of a treatment team, just like in a hospital setting, mm-hmm. but we practice in the community and we work with folks who are chronically homeless, have severe and persistent mental illnesses like schizophrenia, bipolar disorder. And our kind of job is to be out there in the community, working with our clients, helping them to better themselves, become more independent, lead better lives. As a clinical pharmacist, my impact can be working with them on getting on the right medications and making sure they're happy with their medications. So on a daily basis, I come in, I usually have two students with me, APPE pharmacy students,
and APPE being
advanced practice pharmacy education students, and we will look at our schedule for the day. We all have our own schedules on the team. There's about 10 of us on a team, and usually I'm assigned about 6 clients to go out and see. I'll head out in my car and find my clients. Sometimes it's on the streets of St. Louis or in the shelters, and sometimes it's in their apartment or their group home, and sometimes it involves bringing medications to clients or just talking with them about their medications or how their day is going and how their symptoms are. So I do that. We come back, just like in the hospital, we have our daily team meeting, and we all report all our reports on the clients that we've seen for the last 24 hours. As a part of that daily process, I also collaborate with a psychiatrist who's on our team, and we work very well together in managing our clients' medications. There's about 80 patients on one particular team, and I practice on several different teams. So you can see where my days are never the same, and I actually enjoy that. Every day is a little bit different. Every client's different. You may or may not find a client. It's pretty exciting stuff.
Okay. And you had already talked about that you work with a psychiatrist and other social workers, did you mention?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
How does your interaction with healthcare professionals differ from, say, community pharmacy or even other health system pharmacists like those in hospitals?
Sure, that's a great question. I think the difference between my interactions with healthcare providers other than pharmacy in my setting is that I see them, I work with them every day. So when I come in, I interact with, you know, a given like 10 social workers in one day. And oftentimes they come to me with questions about medications. I come to them with questions about social service. We really work well together. I don't think I fully understood the kind of relationship you can have with social workers until I had this particular job. I work every day, again, with a psychiatrist, and that's a face-to-face interaction, whereas in community pharmacy, you may not necessarily get that face-to-face interaction. However, I do think that the phone calls I make, I do phone calls out to, like, primary care providers with suggestions on medication regimens. That aspect of it could be very similar to a community pharmacist in that you're going to be making phone calls, you're going to question certain drug treatment regimens, and hopefully make recommendations. So there's some similarities there, but I think overall I have a lot more face-to-face interaction with folks, and I have a lot more collaborative agreements and collaborative work that I do with other folks. And also, we have a fair amount of nurses at our agency too, and again, I think pharmacy and nursing also go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. The person that's educating about the medication, the person that's administering the medication. So,
yeah. So could you tell me how health system pharmacy, you had noted a couple differences between community pharmacy, but are there other aspects that are different from community? Just to kind of show that health system pharmacy is a realm of pharmacy in its own right.
Absolutely. When I think of health system pharmacy, I think of those pharmacists who have chosen to either go into hospital pharmacy or work in some sort of healthcare system, if you will, for instance, like my clinical site.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just the location and the atmosphere you're going to be in is going to be very different.
Okay.
Your focus at the community pharmacy is going to be, you know, the dispensing of the medications, and is this correct? Is this appropriate? Is there any action I need to take further? And then I need to educate my patients or client on this regimen. In the healthcare system setting, you may be more involved in collaborative agreements. You may be involved in prescribing in certain situations if you have that luxury in the state you work in. And you may also be reviewing charts and looking for medication errors, looking for opportunities to make that, I guess, medication experience better for that patient. So I do think it's just different opportunities that you're given. And that's probably the big difference I would see. And again, my focus is more in the community setting. The hospital setting is just, it's a whole nother world of pharmacy, to be quite honest with you.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel that you have a bigger connection to your patients? Or how big of a connection do you feel with your patients?
That's a good question. And having worked in both realms of pharmacy, mm-hmm. that's what drew me to pharmacy to begin with, was that in the independent pharmacy, you have that regular interaction with the same patients.
Yeah.
And I liked that about it. Where I work now, I have contact with the same patients on a pretty regular basis. And I like that aspect. You build connections with your patients. One of the things that I really, really instill in students is the importance of building that therapeutic alliance with your patient. The best way to do that is steady interactions, encouraging interactions. And that's really what I do a lot of where I work. I always tell students who, again, come on my rotation, they're going to learn a lot about communicating with people. And that's important. In no matter what realm of pharmacy you're in, you need to be a good communicator in order for people to trust in you and want to take the medications that they're given.
Right.
So, yeah, we have a lot of interactions with our patients. And they also have access to, I have a work cell phone because it is a unique environment. So patients call me all the time with questions. They call me about, I've taken double doses or I'm not quite sure what this is for. And it's nice to be able to have that. You know, I can call a pharmacist really quick and get an answer to my questions.
Mm-hmm. So you personally, from my feeling, that you're kind of on the leading edge of innovating pharmacy. Do you feel that the rest of pharmacy is evolving with you?
I think it is slowly. I think, and I can speak in particular in the mental health field.
Okay.
State hospitals are steadily closing, and we're seeing that across the country. Our patients who have severe and persistent mental illnesses will end up in a community setting somewhere. They're either going to be in their own apartment, they're going to be on the streets, or possibly in like a group home. So we're going to see a lot less hospitalizations, a lot less long-term hospitalizations. In my particular field, that's the wave of the future. If you want to work in the mental health field and be a pharmacist, I think the future is community, working in health systems in the community. Now, in terms of other aspects of pharmacy outside of psychiatry, I think it's important to treat our patients as best we can in the community and avoid hospitalization.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope that that would also be the wave of the future, is more pharmacists working in clinic environments, collaborating with physicians, working on diabetes care, hyperlipidemia care, preventing stroke, preventing myocardial infarction or heart attack. I definitely see us moving in that direction, and hopefully sooner rather than later.
Right. So, just kind of side note, do you feel that there's one pharmacist that has impacted pharmacy above others, like a famous pharmacist? Or?
I thought about this question for a little bit, and I, of course, have to relate this to the mental health field, because that really is kind of my life right now. And we have a pharmacist in the mental health realm, and her name is Judith Sacklad, and she was kind of a pioneer and an innovator, and started the development of what's now called the College of Psychiatric and Neurologic Pharmacists, which is kind of our own community of mental health pharmacists.
Mm-hmm.
And she's since passed away, and every year we have an annual meeting, just like other meetings like ASHP and other pharmacy organizations. We meet every year, and one particular psychiatric pharmacist is recognized and honored in her name. And it's people that have impacted the field for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of my mentors and former colleagues and former professors have been honored with that. And of course, that's kind of your aspiration as a psychiatric pharmacist. Eventually, you would hope to get to that place, because you know that you've done well in the field. You've impacted lives. So that's who I would pick is probably Judith Sacklad.
Okay. How would you feel that pharmacy is similar or different to other health? You've had a lot of interactions with other healthcare professionals.
Mm-hmm.
How similar or different is pharmacy to those other professionals?
Sure. I think there are similarities in the fact that, like, when you look at nursing, you look at physicians. We all, when we practice, have undergone an oath that says we will put our patients first. And that is one of the first things that I think about when I work with every patient that I work with is, you know, your health care is first to me right now. And that will always be the case for me. And I think sometimes healthcare providers do forget that, but I think that should always be the forefront for us. In terms of differences, I did think about this for a little bit, and I do feel that in certain states in particular, pharmacy is less of an advocate for the profession versus other fields. And in particular, I'd say nursing and social work have been extremely good about advocating for their healthcare fields and moving forward. Perfect examples are social workers who now bill very similar to psychologists for therapy sessions, and nurse practitioners who now have pretty readily collaborative practices with physicians.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see pharmacy advocate for ourselves and for the field more so than what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there are people out there who do it, and I think we just need to have more people following that lead.
Right.
So what would you, one aspect of health system pharmacy, as well as other realms of pharmacy, is residencies. Could you talk a little bit about what a residency is and the necessity for, you know, undertaking a residency?
Absolutely. So I completed a postgraduate year two residency in psychiatric pharmacy.
Mm-hmm.
And looking back at my experience now, I'd say that the entire year was irreplaceable in terms of getting me to where I'm at now in my career. For me, it taught me how to be a better educator.
Mm-hmm.
It helped me, I think, ultimately get into the role of an educator and faculty member. But it also helped you design or implement your own practice site. I would not have been able to implement the practice site I have now without the education I got in my residency. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would have been equipped to work in the job I have now without my residency.
Mm-hmm.
So it's irreplaceable. It's something that I would strongly encourage to any pharmacy student who has aspirations to go above and beyond and work in a unique treatment environment.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes now, I came from, my residency was in California. Residencies were strongly encouraged for people who wanted to work just outside of the retail setting. And I think we're going to see that change over the years, and residencies are becoming more popular, and it makes you a more, it makes you a more aggressive candidate for certain jobs, okay, whether that's a clinical pharmacy position, an academic position, things of that nature. My residency experience was a wonderful experience, and I'm very, very grateful that I took the opportunity to do that.
Okay. Well, what about wrapping up with what would be one piece of advice that you would have wanted before going into health system pharmacy?
Oh, my goodness. I guess I would have liked to have some more guidance, maybe from faculty members in particular, because I feel like when I made the decision to do my residency, I don't know that I truly understood where that was going to take me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have loved to have had a little bit more guidance in these are your opportunities. When I first started as a pharmacy student, all I had in my mind of a pharmacist was a retail pharmacist, which
right.
is a beautiful thing. But I learned through the years and even through my residency all the other opportunities that are out there. I would have liked to have had more experience with those opportunities. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, as a pharmacy student now, I would encourage people to get involved, ask questions, go shadow preceptors, go shadow folks, and learn about what your opportunities are.
Okay. Would there be one sort of last kickoff message or something about Pharmacist Month that you'd like to say for our listeners?
Gosh, I guess I would just say, I think it's really neat that we honor pharmacy in this month of October. And, we do a lot of work out there. And I think sometimes pharmacists are underrecognized, but we are the most accessible healthcare provider. We can be a wealth of information for folks. And so I'm really honored to be a pharmacist, and I'm happy to honor other pharmacists. So.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Gable, for coming in. I really do appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.
And again, I apologize for, the background music, especially at the end there with, you get what I'm talking about. So we're going to go ahead and go on to our next show, next song break here. This is going to be Get Busy Living featuring Emily Bruce by Goldfish.
Thank you. your passions for to be. Come on, get up off your seat. Let the sound surround you. Break the boundaries down.
And we're back. So this is now, or that was Get Busy Living by Goldfish, featuring Emily Bruce. Next, we're going to go ahead and go up to our interview with Dr. Girish Gupta. He's last, but he's certainly and never should be considered least. He's the dean of the SIUE School of Pharmacy, and he's been in so many areas of pharmacy and has personally done so much to benefit pharmacy as a whole, including his work with New Mexico's health system and his work abroad. I feel he would be the best person to wrap up American Pharmacist Month and give you all an overall message about what these 4 weeks have meant to not only you guys, but a student teaching community and health system pharmacists around. So please, enjoy our interview.
Right now, we have the SIUE School of Pharmacy Dean in the studio, Dr. Girish Gupta. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Harry.
Go ahead and give an introduction for yourself.
My name is Girish Gupta, and I work at the School of Pharmacy. I'm the Dean of the School of Pharmacy. I joined the School of Pharmacy close to 8 years ago when we first started out. Our founding dean was Phil Meaden, and I was basically the second person hired. There was a few others that came with me. Mm-hmm. And we've built the school from basically where there were no pads and pencils, and now we have a vibrant school with three classes of alumni and a full complement of students, and all the students and faculty and staff are doing very well.
All right, let's go ahead and start off with, in one sentence, can you tell me what you believe the word pharmacy means to you?
Well, the word pharmacy actually originated from the Greek word pharmakon, which actually means drug. Mm-hmm. That's where the word pharmacy originated from. And over the years, pharmacists who have worked in a pharmacy basically have dispensed drugs, and they've been given the responsibility to dispense drugs responsibly and appropriately. And as rules have come up over the years, pharmacists basically are the health professional that makes sure that drugs are used appropriately through the pharmacy.
Mm-hmm. And what got you personally into the pharmacy world?
Well, it's interesting. I was always interested in medicine, and I looked at fields of medicine, dentistry, but somehow I felt that a pharmacist is very accessible to the public. Mm-hmm. And you can be a true public health professional without having to have an appointment with a health professional. I can help patients in the best possible way. And so I actually went to pharmacy school back in India, but the whole concept is the same. Mm-hmm. And the whole concept of being a public health professional and helping patients every day to make a change and helping the community was something that really appealed to me. And that's why I went into pharmacy school.
Okay. What's your typical day like as a dean of the School of Pharmacy?
So as a dean of the School of Pharmacy, it's very interesting. Before I became dean, I was a faculty member, and I taught, I did research. When I was back in New Mexico before I came here, I had a site. I worked with the Medicaid and the Indian Health Service. But as a dean, it's more administrative. I make sure that the school has the resources to be operational. The students can get the best possible education. So making sure the school is student-centered. We have all the student services available. Making sure the faculty and staff have what they need to provide an excellent curriculum, as well as extracurricular activities that are pertinent to pharmacy. Mm-hmm. Making sure that the research endeavor is vibrant, and then making sure that our services to the community through the pharmacy practice services we have are appropriate and we can serve the community in the best possible way. So it's sort of four-pronged, and that's what I do as a dean. Of course, it's all management, making sure that we have the resources available.
Yeah.
To do that.
Okay. Do you feel that pharmacy is an evolving career field?
Absolutely. I feel that pharmacy is evolving every day. It has changed tremendously since the turn of the last century.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, in the 50s, there was actually something called the Durham-Humphrey Amendment, which created the over-the-counter drugs. It created the over-the-counter drugs and prescription drugs. And through that act, pharmacists were responsible for dispensing prescription drugs. The dispensing role still holds true. If you go to Walgreens or a Walmart or a CVS or any community independent pharmacy, that's still true. But that's not where it stops. What is most important today in pharmacy is making sure that as the medication experts, that's what pharmacists are today, medication experts, we make sure that patients get the correct drug and the correct outcome from the drug. So we have to make sure that patients achieve the correct outcome. They either feel better. And so pharmacists are responsible for communicating with other health professionals, working in a team mm-hmm. with other health professionals, even in the community setting. In the hospital, they're right there. They're round with physicians, with other health professionals, to make sure that their medication expert knowledge is used on the team and patients are taking the correct medication. You might reduce medications, change a dose. So pharmacy is really evolving into us becoming medication experts as opposed to just being dispensers of drugs.
Right.
So that's where we're really moving. And there's probably about 30 areas that you can specialize in pharmacy. You can specialize in areas like cardiology, oncology, pediatrics. So pharmacy is evolving every day.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say we're medication experts, sometimes pharmacists are medication experts in a very small area, just like medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Very quickly, even the education of pharmacists is evolving. We've moved from the bachelor's degree to the doctor of pharmacy to make it more clinically oriented. And a lot of our graduates go and do residencies after they graduate, just like physicians do residencies to specialize in areas.
Mm-hmm.
So it's ever evolving, but it's for the benefit of the patient.
Right. So do you feel the key theme of where pharmacy is moving is specialization?
The key theme is more clinically oriented roles.
Okay.
And within that, some pharmacists do specialize in specific areas.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, medication regimens are so complicated. For example, in oncology for cancer patients,
mm-hmm.
medication regimens can get very complicated, and you've got to make sure that there's so many other factors that you got to consider. So with the specialization of medicines or the complication of medicines, we've become more specialized. But even the community pharmacists, the more clinical roles are becoming more and more apparent.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How do you feel pharmacy, you had mentioned that there are other healthcare fields that you are interested. How do you feel that pharmacy is similar or even different from those other roles?
Well, I think pharmacy is complementary to mm-hmm. those other roles, the way we see pharmacy today. So the physician has a specific role, nurses have a very specific role, but pharmacists are the medication experts on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you need medications, or you may want to avoid medications for a while and then change medications, so all that knowledge pharmacists possess. So as a complete care team for a patient, pharmacists work in a complementary role mm-hmm. to other physicians. We're truly medication experts, and physicians are truly, are able to diagnose and decide, what patients, need with a course of action.
Mm-hmm.
Pharmacists can help them with that, with their expert medical knowledge. So I think it's complementary. I don't like to look at the roles of healthcare professionals as distinct and different. They are distinct, but everyone works as a team.
As an interprofessional
team. Yeah. That is the way we're looking at it now. That's a good term.
Okay. How about, do you feel that there are some struggles that pharmacy in general has that may not be visible to patients?
So I think there are many struggles that individual pharmacists might have in different practice settings. So for example, in managed care or in community pharmacy or in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to talk more about the struggles of the profession at a more global level.
Certainly.
I think the real struggles are for people to know that we are medication experts and that we are part of a team. Mm-hmm. And we lend something very important to the team that allows us to realize better patient outcomes, better health for patients, a better quality of life for patients. And then there's another thing that I've always said at national meetings, there are so many different areas in pharmacy. So you might have the clinical pharmacist, the hospital pharmacist, the community pharmacist. Each of these groups has an organization. So I think it behooves pharmacy to try to find a way to come together and have a common message to let everyone know that we are medication experts, we can improve adherence, we can improve the quality of life of patients. That's where our challenge lies, mm-hmm. bringing all these organizations together to bring a common message out so that patients will know what we can do, and in turn, we can help patients.
Right. Similar to the AMA for doctors. Do you feel it's through organizations or...?
Well, AMA is one of the organizations that physicians have, and mm-hmm. that's the you know, has been the organization for a long time. And physicians, you know, have different organizations. Nurses have different organizations. But I can only speak for pharmacy in that we need more unity across
right.
organizations. You know, to be able to get the message across to the public about what the value is, because the value is really tremendous.
Mm-hmm. And how about you? How do you feel? How do you feel about such programs like this to try and promote the importance of pharmacy?
I think programs such as this are good because it understands it allows the public to understand the value of pharmacy, the changing roles of pharmacy,
mm-hmm.
Just like you might have programs about other health professionals to increase awareness. And I think the most important is if anyone hears about the roles of pharmacy, if you have any problems with medication, go ask your pharmacist. You don't
right.
need an appointment, as I said.
Mm-hmm.
Go ask your pharmacist. It will help, you know, help patients take their medications and help them have a better quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're here for as pharmacists. And I think that's what this program can do, where if anyone listening has a question about their medication, they go and ask a pharmacist a question, and they're helped, and then the program has done its job.
Right, right. Do you happen to know some famous pharmacists and how they impacted pharmacy as we know it today?
Sure, Harry. So I talked about you know, the more clinical role of pharmacists and being medication experts. The talking about the more clinical role of pharmacists started probably in the late 70s. A person called Donald Brody, he was a pharmacist, started talking about the clinical education that pharmacists get and how we need to be medication experts.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole concept was then packaged by two pharmacists called, their names are Doug Hepler and Linda Strand. And Hepler and Strand basically called it pharmaceutical care.
Mm-hmm.
It's really the rational use of medications to improve, you know, drug therapy that improves a patient's quality of life. It's really a summary of what we've talked about today.
Right,
and
right.
I think Hepler and Strand are the two people that were able to define what pharmaceutical care is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really our mission. And so I think Donald Brody initially, and then Doug Hepler and Linda Strand are three pharmacists that stand out that have really led the movement of pharmacy and the mission of pharmaceutical care and how, as medication experts, we can help improve a patient's quality of life.
Mm-hmm. Going on to one question that I've been asking everyone that I've interviewed, how do you feel about the proliferation of schools of pharmacy across the country and how it impacts pharmacy?
Okay, so we're a relatively new school of pharmacy.
Mm-hmm.
Where, as I said, you know, I got here around eight years ago, and we opened our doors in 2005. There was a shortage of pharmacists,
mm-hmm.
And there is a shortage in some areas in the country, but because of all the new schools of pharmacy, that shortage has gone down. Now, from my perspective, you know, I welcome schools of pharmacy if they can start and maintain the standards, mm-hmm. and if there's good pharmacists that are out in the market that are educated through these schools, we at SIUE have a quality program, so we really don't see other schools of pharmacy as a threat. But when you look at market dynamics and workforce issues, mm-hmm. You know, it is possible that with the proliferation of schools of pharmacy, the shortage of pharmacists can go down in the near future, which would change market dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think the market will change things as schools of pharmacy start, and there's less jobs available in the future, mm-hmm. which is what we're hearing from the economists and the labor economists.
Yeah.
Then maybe the schools of pharmacy starting might go down. But at this point, there's still a shortage in certain areas. I can talk about SIUE. We only graduate 80 students a year. We're not putting out more students because we want to make sure we have the best qualified students, and we don't put too many students in the market,
mm-hmm.
When they graduate. So I think we have a balance at SIUE. But it's fine if new schools start, as long as the graduates they're putting out are quality graduates.
And do you feel that lends itself into the how pharmacy is evolving into a more clinical role as well?
And that's a very good question, Harry, because you know, the basic degree that pharmacists graduate is a doctor of pharmacy,
mm-hmm.
and that really trains you at the basic level. We look at competencies when pharmacists graduate, and what are they competent to do. And there are certain entry-level competencies. Everyone graduating the PharmD has a certain level of competency.
Mm-hmm.
There's too many pharmacists, not a shortage of pharmacists in the market, what happens is you have to differentiate yourself from the others. That's where specialization comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that I think is where schools of pharmacy need to move, postgraduate education. For example, we have 5 residencies affiliated with our school,
mm-hmm.
and that's where we need to go, advanced training of pharmacists in addition to the PharmD training. And what can a PharmD program give you that gives you the added advantage? And we know, I don't think I have the time to get into it, but we know that we have several interesting things we have in our program where all our graduates graduate with an immunization certificate through mm-hmm. the American Pharmacists Association. You have the opportunity in our program to graduate with an education certificate and be more educated, have a better chance of being an educator in pharmacy. So there are those types of things that programs are putting in that puts their graduates apart from the others.
And
that's where, you know, specialization is important as we look at these new roles of pharmacists.
Mm-hmm. And we'll go ahead and wrap up with one last question. What would you feel would be one major thing that you would want our listeners to take away from our Promoting Pharmacist Month for this entire month?
Well, I think one thing is, and it's a good point you brought up, October is American Pharmacist Month. Remember that, you know, we are medication experts. We're here to help.
Mm-hmm.
We're public health professionals. And if you have a question about your medication, please ask your pharmacist, that will, most probably lead to better medication taking behavior, better adherence, and better quality of life.
Right.
So I wish everyone all the best, and talk to your pharmacist.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for coming into the studio. We hope to have you in later shows.
Thank you so much, Harry.
Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
And that was it. I actually don't have enough time to do another song break, so I'm just going to go ahead and wrap up the show for you. Because, I mean, this was definitely a great feeling to give you all a sneak peek. Turn down the music. This was definitely a great feeling to give you all a sneak peek behind the counter and show you what it means to be a pharmacist. I mean, we are a diverse group of medication experts, all working to ensure that you have the best care possible, while working with other healthcare professionals to make sure everyone stays on the same page. We're much more than the medicines we give you. We're the smile on your child's face when she's getting better. We're the relief you get when you find out you can afford the medicine you need to stay alive. We're the realization that no matter what disease you have, you can rely on at least one person who will give 100% to ensure you receive the best care possible. And so, if you missed any of these interviews over the last month with me live or in repeat, you can always catch up on what's happening over at iTunes. Yes, that iTunes. Search for Big Z's Top Links on iTunes Podcasts and download the latest shows. I know it's the old name for the old, I mean, it's the old name for this show, but I can't figure a way how to change it. But still, Big Z's Top Links on iTunes. And you should find this show under Pharmacist Show Number 4. And you can also catch up on the other shows, like at Community or Faculty or stuff like that. I want to thank you all, my listeners, my followers, my readers out there, especially my interviewees this week and for this entire month. If I have any other pharmacy topics to discuss, I know who I'm calling. There is no question for this weekend because I need to recuperate after this last month and figure out what I want to do for the rest of the semester. You can still email me, though, at bigzlinks@gmail.com if you want anything to be on the air. If it's any reaction to Pharmacist Month, if you have anything that you want me to talk about in future shows, whatever it is, bigzlinks@gmail.com. Remember, these last 4 weeks were dedicated to American Pharmacist Month, promoted by the American Pharmacist Association, as well as your local chapter at the SIUE School of Pharmacy. Know your medicine, know your pharmacist. Catch me up on Twitter.com/BZFM, Facebook.com/BigZLinks, BigZBrain.tumblr.com, as well as search for me on Google+, Big Z. This is Big Z, and I thank you for tuning in this week, as well as downloading this podcast if you're listening on iTunes. I'll catch you live next week, same time, same place, only on SIUE Web Radio.